Let's talk about the third greatest revelation I've received since becoming a Christian, why God had to become a man. Now, I'm going to review a little bit this morning. I want y'all to give me some corporate answers. I won't call on you individually because I know it makes people nervous, but I want to review. So we're going to go through the first verse, and we're going to go through these quickly because I want to get to the second stage of this. And I'm probably going to have to do this a third week. So why God had to become a man, I'm going to review real quick, and I won't say much about it, but I want everybody to answer this. Then God said, let us make man in our image. So let us, who's the us? Who's the us? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons in one. One God, three persons in one. Somebody said, I don't understand it. Don't worry about it. It's just what the Bible teaches. Amen. There's some things beyond human comprehension, and that's just the way it is. God is three persons in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he said, let us make man in our image. The last thing he created was mankind. He made everything else, and then he made man, and he gave them dominion over everything he made. Am I correct? Is that what you learned last week? He gave him dominion. Did he keep that dominion? No, a bad tragic event happened in the Garden of Eden. Lucifer, who was a fallen angel, who was in the Garden of Eden, saw what happened, saw what God did to man, what authority he placed in man, and what he gave man, and he was envious and jealous. He came in the garden through the snake and talked Adam and Eve out of their dominion, and he became the God of this world. Real quick, go down to Luke chapter 4, I think it's like 7 and 8, 5, 6, 7 and 8. Real quick, I want to get this in. Just remember this now. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. I thought about this the other day. I was watching, what game were we watching that was in the Las Vegas new arena, the Allegiant? Oregon and Washington. They played there, right? And they kept showing the skyline of Las Vegas. They kept showing the sky. Anybody ever been to Las Vegas? It is a beautiful place to see as long as you don't go in there and gamble. Amen? Because if you go in there and gamble, you're going to lose eventually. God bless all of y'all that gamble. But anyway, it's a beautiful place to see. And we kind of like going there when the Kentucky plays basketball there because I like to kind of watch the people and walk around and then get back up to my hotel room and fast and pray. No, I'm lying. So he took him up, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. So the majority of stuff that's in Las Vegas, is that God ordained? No, not really. No. So verse 6, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Remember, he has to tell a half-truth in order for you to have something to be tempted by. He has to have something that's relevant that you can't have, or it wouldn't be a temptation. My illustration last week was, and Donnie went out to my car and checked it. My illustration last week was, if I told y'all I had $1 million in the trunk of my Mercedes, cash, in a briefcase, could that create a temptation for somebody to want to go out into my Mercedes and get the money? But if you know I really don't have $1 million in my Mercedes, because if I did, I'd already have me another house in Phoenix. So is that really a temptation for me to tell you I got $1 million in the trunk of my car, in my Mercedes? Amen? I don't know why I say Mercedes. It's a 2015 if you're listening by radio or internet, and it's paid for, okay? You listening to me? So I love it. Anyway, so then verse 7 is the lie. Here's the lie in verse 7. But the key, go back to verse 6, I'm sorry. The key is, it has been delivered to me. When did it get delivered to him? In the Garden of Eden. The lie is verse 7. Here's the lie. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. What a lie. I think if he'd have worshiped before him, I think the universe would have ended. I think. Not sure, because God can't submit to anything evil, ever. And verse 8, Jesus says this, and Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. I just came from a place where the streets are paved with gold. I just came with a place where the gates are made of one single pearl. I just came from a place where there's no sickness, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no suffering. There's only love, joy, and peace. Everybody lives by faith. The great God of the universe controls everything there. And so get behind me, Satan. Amen. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds, this is talking about the gospel, that the gospel has been proclaimed, the grace of God has appeared to all men, but it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. I want you to pay attention that he is the God of this world. You know, I think I'll put this verse up, Ephesians 2:2, I think it's very important. In which you once walked, listen to this, listen to the verbiage about the devil. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, and we all did that, didn't we? We all walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The devil's a real problem, but Jesus has defeated him. You have to know that Jesus has defeated him. You and me cannot defeat him without Jesus. No living human being is going to get out of this world without some tragedy, some terrible thing happening to them. I'm talking about unbelieving people. Sooner or later, the devil's going to get you. Now, I think somebody wrote a song and said, sooner or later, love's going to get you. I like that one better. Sooner or later. Right, anyway, but in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. So he's in the atmosphere. He is. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. So if you weren't here 2 weeks ago, I just caught you up. I got good news for you. All the way back when all this bad stuff happened, all the way back, Jesus, or the God of heaven, prophesied something to the snake. And it's Genesis 3:15. He prophesied something to the snake. And notice the amazing verbiage in here. Notice that this is the prophecy, the Immaculate Conception. I almost wanted to say, James, and this is why we pay too much attention to sports, I almost wanted to say the Immaculate Reception. How many of you go back to Franco Harris and the Pittsburgh Steelers? I mean, that's terrible. That came into my head, Maria, the Immaculate Reception. It's the Immaculate Conception. So here's what he tells that snake. Here's what he tells that snake. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Notice the man's not mentioned. Listen. And between your seed. See, the devil has seeds. Everybody that's born in the earth is born with Adam's blood, and it's contaminated by sin. See? How many of you have raised your kids? And you love them. You've raised them and you loved them. But did they cry? Did they pout? This precious one here, she came out of the womb and she had that, what do they call that stuff? Colic. She had colic, and that precious baby right there cried for a solid month. We did everything. We read books. We said if you put her on top of a dryer while the dryer's going. We read if you go out to the car and drive around. Okay? What else? There was one other thing. Oh, then finally one day, Teresa had me just take her in a car seat and just walk around like I'm on an airplane. Woo! And she still cried. So you know what we did? We just double-doored her. We put her in the room. She was safe. She was fed. But we just double-doored her and said she's just going to have to cry it out. And she cried it out. And she hadn't cried since. Amen. Amen. So you can tell in human nature, if you put two babies together and they play together, one of the kids wants to take the other kid's toys. See, there's something wrong with us from the beginning. Isn't that something? There's something wrong with us from the beginning. Now, everybody's born with the life of God in them. Everybody. I remember when I was a kid that I would go out in my backyard, in my grandmother's yard. We lived right next door to my grandmother. And I remember as a kid, 5-6-year-old kid, I remember I would lay out in the yard and look up in the sky and worship God. I do. But a couple of years later, I remember I went in the grocery store and stole a peach. So it didn't last. It didn't last. Amen. Now, I will say this. My conscience was not seared yet, because sooner or later, if you sin long enough, you'll get over guilt, right? I will say this. I went outside with that peach, and I took a bite of it, and my conscience bothered me. I said, man, I shouldn't have took that peach. That guy's a good guy. I shouldn't have took it. I went back in the store and took that peach and put it back with that bite out of it. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. And I said, hey, I'm a good guy, man. I put that peach back. Amen. I can't wait to see if somebody picked that peach up. So, well, man. Anyway, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed. And listen to this. And her seed. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, guys. Who has the seed? We do. We seed you, woman. We seed you, woman. But he doesn't say his seed, her seed. Because the Bible prophesies that the virgin shall give birth, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, man, praise God. He that knew no sin came to the earth to be made sin, so we could become the righteousness of God in him. Between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head. See, get the picture. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, Jesus is going to whip the devil and defeat him in conquering. And he is defeated and conquered. So all he's using now is bluff. He's a great poker player. He's bluffing people. He walks around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now listen, I'm talking to Christians only. He's going to devour the unbeliever, and sometimes he's going to devour us. Can we all be honest? Have you gone through Christianity unscathed? Has everything gone perfectly well for every one of you? If you say yes, we're going to come up here and have you pray for you as a lion this morning. Amen. So the devil walks about, notice, as a roaring lion. Like the Wizard of Oz. You know, what did the lion lack? Courage? What did the Tin Man not have? A heart? What did the Scarecrow not have? A brain? Well, they were all in a mess. Bless God, they needed help. They needed to come to a charismatic, Holy Spirit-filled church. But see, he's a roaring lion. He's not really got anything, but he can use the same thing he used in the Garden of Eden, and that's deception. Amen. And the best way to get over the deception of the devil is to stay in the Word of God. God gave us his Word so it would set us free. Can I get an amen? Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Why God had to become a man. Next verse. Inasmuch then, so here's what happens. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood. Listen to this now. In the beginning, this is God. He himself likewise shared in the same, listen, that through death he might destroy. There we go. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Man, I want to be in a church where a minister's telling people this information. I don't want to be somewhere where our minister's telling people you just need to walk through it and know that God's with you as you walk through it. No, I want to know that Jesus defeated what it is I'm walking through. That's what I want to know. And if I never see the result, the last breath out of my mouth is going to be, Jesus defeated him anyway. I missed it somehow. I missed it somehow. God's not going to go through the suffering with me and make everything okay. No, they don't even say make everything okay. At the end, you know, you get to go to heaven, which is great. And don't misunderstand me. I want to make sure everybody hears me on something. Would I rather see 5,000 or 6,000 people go to a seeker church and at least hear the plan of salvation? Absolutely. But if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you've had a reality of the reality, if you've had a reality of the reality of God, you can't stand up there and listen to somebody tell you that God's going to go with you through the suffering. I want to be able to come up to somebody and say, anoint my head with oil and cast this devil out of me. Cast this cancer out of me. Amen. And again, if we fall over dead, all we got to do is say next. That's hard. It's hard on people. Hard. It's hard. Anyway, got it? See that? Verse 15, look at this. What this? Oh, man, praise Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're in the Advent season. We're talking about Christmas. And release. Everybody say release.
Release.
How many of you like that word, release? Release. And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, catch this. This is interesting. What bondage? What were they under bondage of? They were under bondage of the law. They were under bondage thinking that they had to act a certain way, live a certain way, do certain things, carry out some religious ritual, do something, pay your tithes, go to church all the time. Amen. Live holy every second of every day. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your body and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Anybody in this room that says they've done that, we're going to have another altar call. Going to have another one. No. He released us from that bondage because he became sin. He took all the punishment that we deserved so we could have all of his righteousness. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that fun? Isn't that beautiful? And release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Religion is bondage. Thinking you got to turn to a wall at 5 o'clock every day and pray to God is bondage. It's bondage. Freedom is knowing that Jesus Christ has set us free. Freedom is knowing that God in his mercy made us in the image and likeness of his Son and placed in us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Next verse. So what happens? What has to happen? The incarnation has to happen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Y'all said last week you didn't mind repeating verses with me. You don't feel like you're in kindergarten. You need to say it with your own mouth. Say it with me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Look at this next verse. Watch this now. Look at this next verse. He was in the beginning with God. That's a parallel verse with Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. All things were made through him. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. What about that? You know what's fascinating to me about that? A fisherman wrote that. A guy that was in the fishing business. And God sees him. Jesus sees him and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And he wrote those words. He wrote those words, not some religious guy with 5 or 6 initials after his name. Amen. You know what PhD stands for, don't you? Post-hole digger. Amen. All them people in Harvard are post-hole diggers. Praise the Lord. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Everybody say that. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. One translation says, the Word became flesh covered. In other words, Jesus was God at the beginning. Jesus was God in the womb of Mary. Jesus was God the moment he was conceived, the moment that he was placed in that womb. But when he came out of that womb, he was covered with flesh. He was fully God and fully man. He had to be. He had to be on the same playing field as Adam, or it wouldn't have been justice for him to have defeated the devil because he was only God. He had to defeat the devil because he was man. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Everybody see it? Everybody see it? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Listen to this. Full of grace and truth. See, look at verse 17. because this is one of the, this tears me up almost all the time. For the law was given through Moses, and what did the law bring? Condemnation, death, guilty conscience. Amen. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Say that, everybody. Let's say that one. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I'm loading you up with verses, but I just want to go through this and make sure we don't miss some things. What's the next verse in the lineup, Jordan? The first man, who was that first man? Is there such a thing as evolution? Absolutely not. God made it all, and he made it in 6 days, and he made it 6,000 some years ago. Amen. Praise God. The book of Romans says that every person in their heart knows there's a God by what God created. Amen. Go out there and see the sky and the moon, the sun, the stars. Amen. Praise the Lord. Fearfully and wonderfully made. You're going to tell me that just accidentally, by chance, that the sun went out 94 million miles away, because if it went any shorter or any longer, we'd either burn to death or freeze to death? You're going to tell me that some evolutionary process placed the sun that contains, I forget the word, I think you can get 90 million Earths in the sun. I think I'm right about that. 90 million Earths can fit in the sun. I might have that wrong, but I'm close. Maybe James can Google that. He's kind of looking kind of like I might have overshot that, but it won't be the first time I've overshot something. But it's amazing. And you're going to tell me that God hung the earth in the sky, and everything centers around the earth. Everything is about the earth. Anybody ever sees pictures of the astronauts in space? The first man was of the earth, made of dust. Everybody see that? Everybody see that? You know what the greatest thing ever created is? Even secular, atheistic people will admit one thing. You know the greatest thing that's ever been created that can't be duplicated? The human brain. Think about what we can do. And think about what we can do and can't do. Amen. And think about what the devil can talk our brain into doing. Praise God. Amen. The first man was of the earth. That was Adam, made of dust. The second man, where'd he come from? Is the Lord from heaven. Therefore, here we go. Everybody catch this now? You know what I did during the Thanksgiving week? I read through the entire book of Genesis. And I got blessed by it. I really did get blessed by it. And then I went on to Exodus, and I've got to the first six chapters of Exodus, and I'm semi-blessed by it. I'm hanging in there. I'm hanging in there. Every now and then I'll read it, and then I'll flip up over to the epistles or over to the Gospels and get kind of a better, clearer understanding. But, man, them guys were rascals. They were wicked. There was incest going on everywhere. Amen. And all of them were marrying their sisters and their brothers and their nieces. Amen. And doing some bad things. But see, here's what I got most out of that. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he made a covenant with Abraham because Abraham believed God, and he credited it to him for righteousness, and he swore by himself that he'd never break that covenant. And if he swore by himself that he would never break that covenant with those reprobate, uncircumcised in heart people, can you imagine the covenant he's made with us, and he's put in us a new nature, and he'll never break that covenant. Never. That's why we're always to come to God with boldness, that we may obtain grace and find mercy to help in time of need. Amen. The greatest thing that can happen to every one of us, and I'm top of the list, is to get cleared of a guilty conscience. Every time I get in prayer with God, and I've had some great moments of prayer recently with God, but I'm telling you truthfully, when I get to these moments of God, with God, and I realize the greatness of Him and the enormity of Him, the hardest thing for me is to not say, Lord, I am so sorry that I haven't done more for you. I'm so sorry for the mistakes I've made. And I don't think really he wants to hear that. Because really he's all my transgressions has been removed, been remitted. And you get to start every day in God fresh. His steadfast love is new every morning. All of us could have done better. All of us. If you read your Bible for 4 hours, the devil's going to tell you when you go to bed, you should have read it for five. Amen? If you give 10% of your income away, he's going to tell you, well, you can afford to give 20. You can't get bogged down on that side of it. You got to get bogged down on the grace and love of God. Oh, and it's so hard. It's so hard because I've made so many mistakes. I have. I've made so many. But see, it's the devil that's the accuser of the brethren. It's not God. If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen to this. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now catch this now. How shall he not with him? With who? With Jesus. You don't get it because of you. I don't get it because of me. And I want to learn that. I want to get to a place where I understand that everything I got was because of God's goodness and mercy. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, see, here's what happened. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Think about this. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. A body you have prepared for me. See, the whole purpose of the covenant with Abraham, the entire purpose was to get Jesus in the earth, was to get the seed of the woman into the earth so that the seed of the woman, the Lord Jesus Christ, could defeat the devil. He could defeat him, and he could be the he could pay the price for all of our sins. Listen, all of our sins in the past, all of our sins in the present, and all of our sins in the future. Because he died 2,000 years ago, he better be able to pay for sins in the future. Amen? Y'all see that? Sacrifice and offering. See, so God set up, so what actually goes on? Up to the book of Moses, up to the Ten Commandments, did you know it's all still grace? Did you know up to the Ten Commandments, it's all still grace? God still imparts grace to those reprobates. Oh, I couldn't even imagine some of the stuff that was going on. Amen. But he still extended grace because where there is no law, listen to me, where there is no law, there is no transgression. So he brought deliverance constantly, over and over. Joseph got took into captivity, and everything that the Egyptians had was blessed because of Joseph and because Joseph was a descendant of Abraham, because he said, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you. That's why they're wasting their time if they think that they're going to destroy Israel. They're wasting their time. I'm telling you right now, in this two-party state and all this stuff's coming and being exposed. People still hate the Jews, still hate them, and they hate them because Jesus came through them. That's why they hate them. And they hate Christians, and we would be next. We would be next. Hitler was going to exterminate all the Jews, and then his next group was Christians. And then after that, it'd been anybody. Amen? Because see, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come. Why'd you come, Jesus? I'm come to tell you how bad and horrible and wicked you are. I am come that you might have life and that you might have that life more abundantly. And again, that don't mean Cadillacs and airplanes and suits and Mercedes. It means that you can live life free of guilt with love and joy and peace. Amen. And be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Trust God. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you get that attitude and live that way, if he bless those reprobate Jews, he'll bless his children that are made in his image. There's no doubt about it. Amen. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins, you had no pleasure. So let me finish this thought. Until the law, it was still grace. It was grace. You know he gave grace to Cain when Cain killed Abel? Cain said, man, you're going to put me out there, they're going to kill me. And he put a mark on him. He said, anybody that kills Cain, I'm going to avenge him sevenfold. And he'd murdered his brother. He'd murdered his brother. You know why Moses was in the wilderness? You know why Moses left Israel? Because he killed an Egyptian. And he found out that he thought that Pharaoh would find out about it and come after him, so he fled. He murdered a man. What about old boy David that Jesus is a descendant of? What about old David getting up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? How many of you ever get up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? How many of you want to get up sometimes at 5 o'clock in the afternoon? Gets up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He's not supposed to be getting up at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He's supposed to be out there fighting the battle with his soldiers, troops. Gets up and looks down at that roof, and this woman is sunbathing with very little on. Probably a Victoria's Secret model. Amen. That me and Jordan do not look at when we're at the mall. Sort of. And he said, "Who's that? I want to know her." Amen. And he ends up having a baby with her. Here's the amazing thing. That baby is Solomon, and Jesus goes through the lineage of Solomon through Joseph. Now, he doesn't go through the lineage of Solomon through Mary. Very interesting. But he goes through the lineage of Solomon through Joseph. He wanted to cover up his adultery. I think she gets pregnant. Am I right? Yeah, she gets pregnant, which can happen. That's the way things work. Somebody said, "I'm going to believe God that I'm going to have as many kids as God wants me to have." Boys, if you're fertile, you're going to have way too many kids. God set it in motion. That's how it works. That's so silly. I know people that did that. They got 6, 7, 8 kids. And I guess if you want 6, 7, 8 kids, God bless you. I got 3, and I got 2 with me, and that's plenty. Amen? You follow me? See, people are so twisted in their thinking about God. God set it in motion. He set it in motion. You know how children are born. They're born how children are born. You got me? And so you can't believe God to decide if you get pregnant because he wanted you to be pregnant. If you want to be pregnant, you know how to get pregnant. Right, girls? Right, men? And some of us men in this auditorium didn't want somebody to get pregnant, but they did anyway. And we couldn't stop it. Can I get an amen? I guess that's why people are so thrilled with me as a minister. So then the Ten Commandments come along, and the law comes along, and now people know what right and wrong is. And the Bible says that the strength of sin is the law. Men now became aware that what they were doing was wrong. They knew it was wrong to take God's name in vain. They knew it was wrong not to keep the Sabbath holy. They knew it was wrong not to honor your father and mother. They knew it was wrong not to lie, steal, kill, covet your neighbor's wife, covet your neighbor's car. They knew all that now. So now they were held accountable because now there is a law and there is transgression. So God has to institute sacrifices of sheeps and bulls. No goats, was it? Sheeps and bulls. Man, it was an unlucky time for sheeps and bulls. My gosh, they'd come out there thinking, "Man, I guess I'm going to be grazing on grass." And all of a sudden, you're not going to be grazing on grass. You're going to get burnt. You're going to have a burnt offering. Amen. And all that did was cover sin because sin had to be dealt with. So it covered sin. But God was going to bring somebody around that was going to remove sin. Remove it. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Look at here. Verse 7. Then I said, oh, Jesus is talking. It's a dialogue between God the Father and God the Son. Then I said, behold, I have come. Hey, listen to this now. Behold, I have come in the volume of the book. That's what the volume of the book's about. That's what it's about. That's why you got to wade through it and understand that all they're doing is showing you how Jesus got here. Because in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? He'll grow up as a tender plant. There's no comeliness or beauty that we should be drawn to him. But he was bruised for our transgressions. He was wounded and bruised and beaten and whipped so that we could be set free. In the volume of the book, it's written of me. Psalm 22, the first words in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then if you read down the rest of the psalm, it's the story of his crucifixion. It says, they've pierced my hands and my feet 1,000 years before it happened.
He says, the bulls of Bashan encircle me and encamp me. There were demons and devils down on that cross hissing at him. And he could have called 12 legions of angels down and wiped the whole world out. But he said, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do, because I'm the only one that can do it. I prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's possible, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to do it. Nobody in their natural mind, nobody in their natural state would want to be made sin and be separated from God. Why, God, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken so that we could be accepted. Praise God. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do your will, O God. Now, I love my Jewish friends. I love them. We got to support them. They're the seed of Abraham. But my goodness, they're blind. Their Messiah was right in front of them. He was born in Bethlehem, just like the prophet said. He was crucified, just like the prophet said. He was raised from the dead, just like the prophet said. And they rejected him because they had a religious spirit. And that's the worst thing to have. Amen. It's the worst thing to have. For we, here we go. I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to pick it up. I told you it'd take about 3 Sundays to get this done. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Say that with me, everybody. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amazing. Is there a verse 16 there? Let us therefore come boldly to the, listen to this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Amen. Praise God. We're going to sing this song. Praise God forever. Let's come on up and we'll receive the elements this morning. Let's read these holy words from the holy word of God. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll start at verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, listen to this, on the same night in which he was betrayed. Can you imagine? This dude Judas had gone out and healed the sick, cast out devils. Amen. Saw miraculous things. And he stole money out of the money bag. Amen. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant. The new covenant. How many of you are glad it's a new covenant? Woo! Thank you, Abraham. But thank you more, Jesus. Thank you, Abraham, but thank you more, Jesus. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Now catch this, till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself. Listen to this. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many die. That word sleep is actually die. See that? For this, what reason? Not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. That body was broken for us. Jesus Christ died for the total man. Jesus Christ died for the spirit. He died for the soul. And he died for the body. He died so that we could be set free. Amen. So as we take the bread, as we take it. We're going to discern the Lord's body this morning, aren't we? Aren't we going to discern it? So as we take this bread, we're going to discern it's the Lord's body that was broken for us. Amen. It was broken for us. Amen. So say, Father, thank you that Jesus' body was broken for me. And he died for the total man. So I am healed. I'm set free from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I mix my faith with the grace that you've provided to me through your Son, Jesus Christ. And he said that this cup represents his blood that was shed for the remission of sins. And it's the blood of the new covenant. It's the blood where you don't have to be guilty. You don't have to be guilty. You can come to God with boldness, with confidence, and receive grace to help in time of need. Because Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. So say this, Father, I'm receiving this cup. And I'm coming before you in full assurance of faith, knowing my heart is sprinkled from an evil conscience, and my body's washed in pure water. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now that's church. That's church. That's what ministers are supposed to do. Amen. Praise God. Even lay ministers like myself. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. If you've been listening by radio or internet and you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you waiting for? Get out from under the curse of the devil. Get out from under the law of sin and death. Get out from under this present evil age and receive Jesus as your Lord. As many as receive him, to them God gave the right to become children of God. Become a child of God today by simply saying this prayer, because you pray it from your heart. You pray it from your heart. It's got nothing to do with your past mistakes. It's got nothing to do with what you'll do in the future. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. None of us deserve it. I was reading in Psalms today through the YouVersion of the Bible that if we're judged on what we've done, we don't get nothing. We get nothing because we don't deserve it. It's the grace of God that brings us salvation. So say this simple prayer because you mean it. Say, Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead for my justification. I receive you into my life. I pronounce you as Lord. I pronounce you as the defeater of the rotten devil. And I'm now in your kingdom because I have faith in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you're a child of God. Read the Bible. Start with the Gospel of John. Now, don't read the Bible because you're under some religious obligation to. I'm telling you, if you've been born again, the Spirit of God will want you to, he'll help you understand that Bible. And you'll like to read it. Get a modern translation, not a paraphrased Bible, but get a modern translation, New King James, something like that. That Elizabethan English will get you discouraged. Get a modern translation and begin at the Gospel of John. Read it a couple of times and then go all the way back to Revelation. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. And everybody said,
Amen.
Praise God.